This room is a freedom getting place. This is where freedom happens. Over the last 50 years, we've seen thousands of people get freedom here, right here in this room. This is freedom getting place. And today, God's offering freedom. You know, 15 years ago, we had a baby dedication. You know, we get the parents up here, and they got the baby, and they promised to raise the baby to follow Jesus, and the relatives come. So we had this couple, they're doing their baby thing, and they invited Grandpa and Grandma from Western Michigan. And the grandparents were from the Dutch Reformed part of Western Michigan. They were Dutch, as in, we don't show emotion kind of people. We don't, you know, do wild and crazy things kind of people. They were we work hard and save our money and be responsible citizens kind of people. They were we don't drink too much or do too much of anything, really, except maybe work kind of people. So they're here, and we gave a word, some kind of minor healing thing, like we're going to pray for people with this. And Grandma decides to go up and get prayer because she had that thing, whatever it was, I don't remember. So she goes up, and the Holy Spirit comes in power on Grandma. Next thing we know, she's like laid out on the floor. And it's sort of like, whoa, what's going on over there with Grandma? She's like laid out on the floor. And every little once in a while, she's like giving these little jerking things, like jerking her body, like something's jerking. This goes on for like half an hour. Finally, it kind of lifts, but when she comes to, Grandma is drunk. It's like she is like the drunkest person you've ever met. She's laughing hysterically. She can't walk straight. She can't talk straight. Like her kids had never seen her like that ever. They were in complete shock. Grandma was happy. She was happy. I mean, she was really happy. Turned out, Grandma had been suffering for 20-some years under a cloud of depression. And when she came up to get healed, the Holy Spirit came and said, no, we're going for freedom. We're going for freedom. And she's laid out, and she says, what she felt was, what she saw in her mind was Jesus came and reached his hand inside of her body, and he grabbed this dark thing that was inside of her and yanked it out of her. That was the jerking thing. He just jerked it out until it was all gone. And when it was gone, she was free. And she was happy. That she had lived all those years. Grandma got free. It happened right over there. I don't know, you people over there might want to watch out. There's something over there. It happened right over there. We're exploring the work of the Holy Spirit in this series of messages, and today we want to talk about the Holy Spirit's work in what we call, in Christian terms, deliverance, which means the giving of freedom. And you know what? Wherever the Holy Spirit is at work, freedom will be given. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. And as disciples, we join in his work to bring freedom to the captives. So we're going to look at Luke chapter 10, and we're going to follow that a little bit. I'll skip a few of the extraneous verses, and we'll just kind of hit the main points. So Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers in the harvest field. Go." So he's sort of like, we're starting with you. "Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves." And we'll skip that bit about surviving the wolves. Verse 9, he says, "Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you." Verse 17, the 72 returned with joy. And they said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." And he replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions." Now, he's not talking literal snakes and scorpions. He's talking about spiritual snakes and scorpions. So we're not bringing in crates of rattlesnakes here. Don't worry. That's not happening. But we tread on snakes every week. Spiritual snakes. We tread on them and we crush them because this is the freedom getting place. So he says, "I've given you authority to trample on them and to overcome" what? All, it says, all the power of the enemy. What will harm you? Nothing. You have weapons from Jesus, people, that are more than sufficient to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you as long as you use your weapons. And then he says, "However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." And at that time, Jesus, full of joy, through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." The good news, folks, the good news is Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God back to earth. He's not leaving us in our mess. He's coming back. And he came and he started it already. And he's here to restore all things. So whenever that gospel is authentically preached, there's got to be some restoration. If that gospel is authentically preached, you expect a demonstration of power that tells you that heaven's coming to earth. And that power is seen through healing and deliverance from bondage and oppression. So when Jesus sent them out, he commanded them both to heal and to preach, and it turned out that included setting the captives free. They went to preach, and they came back reporting people had received healing and freedom. Even the demons are subject to us. It's not restoration if there's no freedom. It's not restoration if there's no freedom. And it's an incomplete healing that leaves people still in bondage. Jesus did not die just so you could have your sins forgiven, but live the rest of your life in bondage. Are you hearing me? He did not die just so you could have your sins forgiven and then live like a slave for the rest of your life. He died so that you would be free. So that you would be free. So that you would be free. And the world needs freedom. Needs deliverance from bondage and captivity of soul and mind and body. And it's great news when that happens. The whole world has been under the oppression of the powers of darkness. Through lies. Through pride. Through greed, through evil deeds, many people become afflicted in mind and spirit and body. Things come upon them which they cannot shake. Fear, despair, confusion, rage. Sometimes they're afflicted with strange difficulties in their body that no doctor can diagnose. Often they're held by hurtful behaviors, which they cannot control and cannot stop. like continual lying or stealing or violence. Often their thinking is disturbed and their sleep is afflicted with many nightmares. They never have a good night's sleep. They become slaves under the power of darkness. We become slaves when we believe the lies of darkness. What lie are you believing? We become slaves when we look to other so-called gods or spiritualities for what we need rather than looking to the one true and living God. We become slaves when we try to substitute ourselves or some worldly thing for the living God. Some of us became slaves because we grew up in families that were themselves slaves to lies and addictions and shame and fear. We become slaves when we give ourselves over to the selfish pursuit of pleasure and greed and power. And some have become slaves because they were victimized by someone else and couldn't find the strength to tell anybody, and so ended up living their whole life in shame and in lies, somehow believing that it was their fault when it wasn't. I remember about 40 years ago, I was on a Wimber trip to England, and there was a woman there, an older woman. She was like, now I don't think she's so old, but then, she must have been in her 70s, which now seems pretty young to me. Funny how that works. But she had a neck brace on. So we're going to go pray for her neck. We started praying for her neck, and the person next to me discerned that this problem with her neck was caused by stress. So we asked her, has anything stressful been happening in your life? And she burst into tears and starts telling us that she had continual conflicts with her daughters and her daughters-in-law. So continual conflict in her family. They were fighting about everything all the time. She couldn't figure out what the problem was, couldn't get out of it, and was so stressed out over it. And as she began to tell us and we started to pray for it, she started reacting physically just a little bit different, like that jerking kind of thing that I talked about earlier. She started jerking her body in some ways we thought, maybe this is turning into a deliverance thing. Let's get her into my more private place. So we took she and her husband in the back room. We set her down in his chair. We were going to start praying for her again. But before we could even start, she started bouncing up and down in the chair, pounding her fists in her lap and saying, I'm just a naughty little girl. I'm just a naughty little girl. I've always been just a naughty little girl. Well, what we found out was, as a little girl, she was raped. And she believed it was her fault and that she was just a naughty little girl. She'd been victimized, and then the enemy came and planted a lie on top of that, and that lie had held her in bondage for 60 years. But when she brought it out and we prayed healing on it, there were several demons that left her body. They started leaving one after boom, 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 boom. And she was free. And she was free. And her husband's sitting there and his tears coming down. And she was free. After 60 years, free, free, free at last. Free in Jesus. That's what he's here to do, is to set the captives free. I am. I was counting on you, Miss Lily, counting on you. Jesus came so that you would be free. You were made for freedom. You were made to be free. You were not made to be slaves. You were made for freedom. And what's more, he bought you back with his own blood, bought you back from the powers of darkness, says they're going to be mine and they're going to be free. Today is the day for freedom. Today is the day for victory. Today you can take back the freedom that you were made for. Why? Because the battle for your freedom is already won. The battle is already won. You hear me? The battle's been won. You need only step into it and then walk it out. All right? You got to step into it and you got to walk it out. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Yeah, he's happy about that. Jesus is happy when people get set free. He rejoiced that that day had come. When the good news of the kingdom was preached, the downfall of the kingdom of darkness was at hand. And Jesus rejoiced. Darkness was broken and people were set free. And then on the cross, when Jesus shouted, "It is finished," the power of darkness was broken once and for all. Colossians 2:15, it says, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. They are now powerless. And the only power they get is the power we give them when we believe their lies. But the battle's won. The battle's won, people. The battle's won. It's there to be had. Freedom is there. It's at hand. This is the day of freedom. That's why we can have authority over all the power of the enemy and nothing can hurt us. When we are in Christ, when we're under him, we can be free and we can give freedom. The way to get free, the way to bring freedom is to submit everything to him. James tells us, James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God, step one. Resist the devil, step two. And he will flee from you, three. He runs. He doesn't fight back, he runs. The only thing you got to do is step, turn everything over to Jesus, and then fight. And he can't fight back because you've got the authority. The battle's been won. You've got the authority. It's a great thing to lead others to freedom and break the bonds of oppression. Not all conditions can be addressed in this way. Sometimes other kinds of things are necessary, but when the Holy Spirit makes it possible, it's beautiful and it's glorious. You know, I've seen there many times when the Holy Spirit releases his power on people and he'll just go right after the freedom. Sometimes he'll skip right over healing. Like, I don't know if grandma ever got healed or whatever she came up for. And I don't think she cared that she didn't get healed because she got free. You know, here's the thing. If you get healed, it's for a while, and then still you're going to get old, and eventually you have to die and go to be with Jesus, which is not a bad deal. But every healing's temporary. But listen, freedom is forever. Freedom's forever. Once you step into freedom, it's yours forever. So he goes for that. Sometimes when he comes, it starts with a kind of a conflict. There's like a manifestation. It's sort of like there's a fight that happens. And it's sort of like there's this thing in a residue in our body and our spirit that kind of resist the freedom-giving nature of the Holy Spirit. And he's coming in and he's initiating that fight to set you free. But it doesn't last long. And then when you get to the other end, when the freedom happens, it's wonderful. And you feel light and you feel glorious and connected. And you suddenly realize you've been carrying a heavy burden than you realized you were. You know, about 40 years ago, there was a church that invited me to come spend a day talking to them about healing in Western Michigan. And this was a group of churches that generally didn't go in for any of that charismatic stuff. Okay, they weren't so sure God did that stuff today, but somehow they decided they were going to let me talk to them about healing. They were a group from this church group in mostly kind of headquartered in Western Michigan called the General Association of Regular Baptists. Okay, so they're very, very conservative people. Like for them, Billy Graham was a liberal, you know. Very conservative people. And so my thought was, I'm going to be nice to these people, even though they wouldn't meet with me at the church. They met with me in a hotel on the opposite side of town because they didn't want to actually be seen with me. But I thought, I'll be nice to them. I'll just try to explain to them, like, you know, you don't have to be like some televangelist kind of person. You know, like, I'm just old frumpy Steve, and I don't wear pinky rings, and I don't have poofy hair, and I'm not much of an actor, and, you know, I just show up, and the stuff happens, and, you know, people get healed. And it's just prayer, after all. I was just going to take the technique. It's just prayer. Like, everybody believes in prayer. It's just prayer. It's not anything weird. So I get there, and I'm starting my spiel with them. They're all sitting around the table, about 12 of them. And all of a sudden, one of the assistant pastors interrupts me. He says, I can't wait. I can't wait. I have to ask a question now. Okay, tell me your question. He says, I just want to know if God speaks through dreams. And I'm thinking, I thought we were talking about healing, but okay, whatever. I said, of course God speaks through dreams. Like, it's all over the Bible. It says in black and white, God speaks through dreams. It's even in the Christmas story. Of course God speaks through dreams. And he says, well, I have a dream that I've been having over and over again, and I don't know what it means. Can you tell me what it means? And I felt like the Lord said, just go with me. Now, usually people tell me their dream, and my response is like, yeah, that's a dream, all right. Okay, so don't be coming to me with all your dreams. But the Lord makes exceptions sometimes, and he made exception that day. And so I said, okay, tell me your dream. And the guy tells me his dream, and it just seemed as obvious to me as anything. Like, this dream is about the shame and the fear that you feel because you believe that your father thinks you're not good enough to be a pastor. And he put his head down on the table and started sobbing. I mean, like, not just weeping. I'm talking wailing, racking, shaking, sobbing, howling, sobbing. And I'm thinking, I've only been here 5 minutes. I was going to be nice to these people. Now they've already got their assistant pastor sobbing hysterically. And then he, like, fell out of his chair. And he's on the floor. And I'm thinking, oh, this is not going a good direction. He's on the floor. Then he goes in a fetal position. I'm thinking, oh, that's not going to be good. That's I think I know what comes next. Sure enough, he starts growling. And I think, oh my gosh, he's got a demon. I'm going to have to get down there and get rid of that thing. So much for being nice to these people. Like, in the first 10 minutes, I cast a demon out of one of their pastors. So I get done with him, and I was afraid to look at the other people. I just, like, focused on the guy. He got free. It was great. It was wonderful. And I looked up. Nobody's sitting. They're all standing in a circle around us, tears coming down their faces. And they said, we always knew something was wrong. And they said, that was the most beautiful thing we have ever seen. And you know what? It is. It's glorious. It's beautiful. When people get free, there's just no words to describe it. Freedom is wonderful when it comes. It's like, they're like new people on the other end. And so you and I, we are called to follow in their footsteps. We receive freedom, and then we go and we preach the gospel. Jesus is here to make everything right and to set you free. But as wonderful as all that is, you haven't seen anything yet. He said, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, the first time I read that, I thought, like, wasn't the deliverance, like, really good? Like, that's kind of a come down, like, rejoice in this other thing? Until I realized what it meant to have your name written in heaven. He's not minimizing the glory of the freedom. He's just saying, you think that's good? I got better stuff. I got better stuff than that. I got better stuff coming. There's a truth that far surpasses getting free, getting your name written in heaven, and truly understanding everything that comes with it. That'll change everything. So what does it mean to have your name written in heaven? Well, first, it means you get eternal life. That's pretty basic. John 3:16, you came, you have eternal life. Like, I mean, you live forever. Like, that's pretty good. And not stuck in this broken body forever, but actually, you know, we go to be with Jesus, but then we get a resurrected body down the road, and we get to live in that, an immortal body that's not fallible. That's pretty good. But that's not all. There's more. When you get your name written in heaven, it says you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit, and your body becomes a temple of the Holy Spirit. That means God's living in you, and he's with you everywhere you go. You can call on him any place, anytime, anyhow. He's always with you. He's always there to guide you. If you ask him, he'll tell you. Ask him, what's next? What do I do? I need wisdom. He responds. He's always with you. He's the comforter who's always there. You don't have to go somewhere and get it. You can get it yourself because he's always with you. If your name's written in heaven, you get to be adopted as God's child and become heir to the great inheritance, actually. You know what our inheritance is? Not just a resurrected body. It's to rule and reign on this earth with Christ. We get to inherit the whole world. That's not too bad. Actually, I'm kind of thinking about a tour of the universe might be kind of nice. Actually, when we get there. So you get that. Sort of, if your name's written in heaven, it tells us you were dead, but now you get to be alive right now. Like more alive than you've ever been. If you've been dead and then you get alive, you know there's a difference. Number five, you will get to be a member of God's chosen people, his holy nation, the royal priesthood. Like that means royal priesthood means you get to like walk into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God anytime you want and be with him. Holy nation, it means that you're favored by God. He's with you and he's after you. You belong to him. You're part of his holy nation that he's building all around the world. You know God's building a new holy nation made up of people from every tribe and language and group? That's what he's doing. And you get to be a part of that. If your name's written in heaven, you have the authority of Christ because it says that spiritually, if your name is written in heaven, you are seated on the throne with Christ in heaven right now. So when you pray, you're not praying from down here. You're praying from the throne right next to Jesus. You're just leaning over and saying, hey, Jesus, you know, how about some of this? You can, that's pretty special. You can ask him for all your needs, right? And you're right there and he's hearing you. You don't have to fight to go see him. Like he's right there. You know, you get to be with him in heaven. You might not be able to meet with the mayor of Chicago, But you can meet with Jesus himself any old time because you're on the throne with him. That's better. Believe the mayor can't do much for you anyway. And lastly, it says you get to be a spiritual being of great light, that we become lights reflecting the brilliance and glory of the light that's in the face of Christ, who dwells in unapproachable light. If you could see yourself the way God sees you, if you could see yourself the way your angels see you, you would see that you are shining with the brightness of Christ reflected in you, that you're the shining beings of the earth that God has put his name on, that belong to him, that are part of his family, and you reflect his glory. You got the family resemblance. That's who you are. And that's a lot. That's big. That's big. And that's why we rejoice that our name is written in heaven. And if you haven't turned your life over to Jesus, that's a good reason to do so. Because when you turn your life over to Jesus completely and totally, your name gets written in heaven. And it's not hard. You just do it. You just tell him now, okay, Jesus, I give up. I'm surrendering for you. I give you everything. Done. That's it. That's all you got to do. Simple prayer. You can pray it right there, right while you're sitting. You pray that thing, and it's done. Now, today is about freedom. Now, I know, standing here, some of you are in this room, and you've been fighting a battle. You've been fighting a battle. Sometimes, more recently, sometimes for a long time, you've been fighting a battle. Some of you been victimized in the past, and you've just never told anybody. Some of you have things you want to stop, but you can't. And you haven't been able to stop. Some of you struggle almost daily with fear. Fear what people will happen. Fear what people will think. Fear what so-and-so thinks. Some of you struggle with despair. What's it all mean? You know, different things that you are struggling with. You're coming in here fighting. But Jesus wants you to be free. And he's here for freedom today. And we want to offer you freedom. You're going to get freedom. This is going to be the freedom getting place this day. So let's all stand. If you can stand, stand. Now you got to step into your freedom. Then the next day you got to walk it out. But first you got to step into it. So I'm going to ask you to do something. A bunch of you will say, I'm one of those. I need freedom. I'm fighting this battle, and I would like to get it free. I would like to be free of this battle. So I'm inviting you right now to step out and just come up to this stage thing, this thing, whatever it's called. Come up as close as you can, all around, and then we're going to pray for freedom. Okay, so just step out now. Come on up. Start coming. Start coming. Let's come on up. Get as close as you can because there's a big crowd coming. You're certainly not the only one. All right? Come on up. Come on. Keep coming. We got freedom coming. Freedom's coming. Freedom's coming. Freedom's coming. Holy Spirit, release the power of your freedom now on these people. Send your fire to set them free and to break the chains of bondage, to break the lies, to break the shame, to break the negativity, to break the obsessions, to break the hurt, to break all that stuff and set them free. Let them step into the fullness of what you've made them for and bought them for, the fullness of what you have for them now in freedom. Will you bring freedom now? We're going to keep praying here as long as we need to with these folks until as many of them as we can get freedom. If you're not up here or you're not praying for somebody, you're free to go out in the world, be the church. But when you go, remember who you really are. Be the light out there to set the captives free. See you next week.